David said her hair was dark, like his.
Bree looked at her intently.
He said you were going to have a memorial service, Nora. Why wait? Why not do it now? Maybe it would bring you some peace.
Nora shook her head.
What David says, what everyone says, it makes sense. I should focus on the baby I have.
Bree shrugged.
Except you're not doing that. The more you try not to think about her, the more you do. David's only a doctor, she added. He doesn't know everything. He's not God.
Of course he's not,
Nora said.
I know that. Sometimes I'm not sure you do.
Nora didn't answer. Patterns played on the polished wood floors, the shadows of leaves digging holes in the light. The clock on the mantel ticked softly. She felt she should be angry, but she was not. The idea of a memorial service seemed to have stopped the draining of energy and will that had begun on the steps of the clinic and had not ceased until this moment.
Maybe you're right, she said. I don't know. Maybe. Something very small. Something quiet.
Bree handed her the telephone.
Here, just start asking questions.
Nora took a deep breath and began. She called the new pastor first and found herself explaining that she wanted to have a service, yes, and outside in the courtyard, yes, rain or shine.
For Phoebe, my daughter who died at birth.
Over the next 2 hours, she repeated the words again and again, to the florist, to the woman in classifieds at the Leader, to her sewing friends who agreed to do the flowers. Each time, Nora felt the calm within her swell and grow, something akin to the release of having Paul latch on and drink, connecting her back to the world. Bree left for class, and Nora walked through the silent house, taking in the chaos. In the bedroom, afternoon light slanted through the glass, showing every inattention. She had seen this disorder every day without caring, but now, for the first time since the birth, she felt energy rather than inertia. She pulled the sheets taut on the beds, opened the windows, dusted. Off came the denim maternity jumper. She searched her closet until she found a skirt that would fit and a blouse that didn't strain against her breasts. She frowned at her image in the mirror, still so plump, so bulky, but she felt better. She took time to do her hair, too, 100 strokes. Her brush was full when she finished, a thick nest of gold down, all the luxuriance of pregnancy falling away as her hormone levels readjusted. She had known it would happen. Still, the loss made her want to weep.
That's enough,
she said sternly to herself, applying lipstick, blinking away the tears.
That's enough, Nora Asher Henry.
She pulled on a sweater before she went downstairs and found her flat beige shoes. Her feet, at least, were slim again.